don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. What is up, crew? I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We're going to hit a short quick read today. This one is from Square. It's written by a security engineer at Square, Alec Mingrajani. I think I said that name right, but he posted on their Medium Square blog, and that's Square, owner of Cash App, if you did not know. They have been getting into Bitcoin, I think it was late last year, and so they're working on a full year now with Bitcoin integration, and they actually have received a number of payments from friends and family members through Square, and I just immediately just put into Bitcoin and just don't think about it. I've actually really, really enjoyed that because it's kept me from having to rely on Coinbase so much, particularly for small purchases. But their app has been great. I know a lot of people use Cash App for just sending. Cash App and Venmo, I think, are the two most popular right now, just for sending payments back and forth between friends. So if you have not used their Bitcoin feature yet, I definitely recommend it. It's been super easy for me, and I've had no problems. So, but regardless, their Medium post was by, again, Alec Mingrajani, and they open sourced their cold storage solution. Apparently, they've been building out a cold storage setup for some time now, and they are finally open sourcing it, and they've got documentation and stuff online, so you can check it out. And I thought this article was both showed some of the power of crypto, just Bitcoin and the idea of programmable money in general, as well as also a little bit of the power of the community and the culture around it, that here we have a large proprietary company that is jumping on the open source mantra and open sourcing their security measures. So we'll go a little bit deeper into this after I read the article. But again, this is on their Medium page. That's medium.com/square-corner-blog. Obviously, I'll link to all this stuff and as well as the author. But without further ado, let's go ahead and just jump into the article, and we will discuss a little bit afterward. And this is titled Open Sourcing Sub-Zero. Late last year, Square began offering the ability to buy and sell Bitcoin with Cash App. As part of that launch, we invested heavily in building out our cryptocurrency infrastructure to help protect our customers' funds and Square itself from both internal and external threats. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin require private keys to access and move funds. Securing these private keys is important because transfers are irrevocable. An unauthorized person who gains access to the private keys can move funds, and due to the nature of cryptocurrencies, it will be practically impossible to identify the person or recover the funds. Since launching Bitcoin support, Square developed a robust approach to Bitcoin cold storage, and we recognize the importance of sharing our work with the community. As a result, today we are open sourcing the documentation, code, and tools for Sub-Zero, our HSM-backed solution for protecting Square's Bitcoin holdings. Background. Cash App customers have the ability to buy, sell, and withdraw Bitcoins. They can view the balance for their account, but the actual Bitcoins are held by Square in a combination of hot and cold wallets. Cold storage is a term used to refer to a Bitcoin wallet that is offline, meaning that the private keys for the wallet are stored in such a way that they are inaccessible from any network. Storing Bitcoin in a cold wallet reduces the risk of remote attack. Without remote access, it is more difficult for an attacker to obtain the private keys that give access to the Bitcoin stored in the cold storage wallet. Transferring funds out of cold storage requires physical access to the private keys or the device on which they are stored. On the other hand, an online or hot wallet is able to send funds at any time, keeping a small amount of funds in online wallets and the majority of funds in cold wallets is a good way to get the best of both worlds. There are many ways to implement cold storage. You can print the key material on a piece of paper, a so-called paper wallet, carve it into stone, save it on a computer that is kept disconnected from networks, or use a specialized hardware wallet device, such as Trezor or Ledger. Hardware security modules, or HSMs, are specialized hardware devices that are commonly used in the payments industry to store sensitive cryptographic key material and perform operations with those keys. HSMs provide guarantees around the security of sensitive key material, such as strong access control and active protection against physical tamper. HSMs also typically allow replicating keys for backup or disaster recovery purpose without exposing the plain text key material. These features make HSMs a natural fit for a cold storage solution, as our primary concern is securely storing the wallet's private keys while still being able to use them to transfer Bitcoin when needed. What is Sub-Zero? Sub-Zero is an enterprise offline Bitcoin wallet. It is useful for those who don't want to use an off-the-shelf hardware wallet because they need to create unique customizations or implement business-related rules. We decided to use the same HSM vendor that we use for all our other payments-related needs, as we are already familiar with the hardware and software. The HSM is programmable, allowing us to support Bitcoin wallets today while giving us the flexibility to implement other protocols in the future. One specific customization we implemented is the ability to enforce that cold wallets can only send funds to a Square-owned hot wallet. Such layering provides defense in depth, forcing an attacker to compromise multiple systems in order to extract funds. It is also possible to build additional layers, where each layer can trade off convenience with the amount of funds being stored, an onion model. Our multi-party signing ceremony leverages the multi-signature feature available in Bitcoin. Moving funds out of cold storage requires M out of N people to participate in a signing ceremony. The participants use a combination of smart cards and passwords to authenticate to the cold storage system. QR codes are used to exchange the minimal amount of data needed between the offline and online world. The cold wallet, which is physically secured, remains offline throughout its lifetime. This provides assurance about its integrity. While the supply chain needs to be secured, unauthorized modification of the active system is unlikely. A geographically distributed setup makes it both harder to compromise, M different sites need to be compromised, and provides redundancy. We can lose any N-M-1 sites. A nice property of our signing ceremony is that we mitigate the risk of handling an incorrect transaction due to corrupted data, either in transit or in memory. The exact same bits would need to get corrupted in an unnoticeable way on each of the M different servers. Sub-Zero details. A signing ceremony starts by having an online server generate a QR code. The QR code contains the minimal amount of information necessary to sign a transaction. QR codes are efficiently encoded using protobufs. These QR codes can be printed and archived, which is useful for forensics purpose. QR codes also constrain the amount of data that can possibly be exchanged. The people performing the signing ceremony interact with servers. The servers are located in undisclosed secure locations. These servers boot from a Linux Live DVD. DVDs provide two desirable properties. 1. Unless an attacker is able to modify the drive's firmware, the media is immutable. Immutable disks make it harder for potential malware to exfiltrate information or for malware to erase itself. 2. When a software upgrade is required, DVDs can be swapped without having to bring the servers online. Our long-term goal is to have a reproducible build process similar to Tails. The server runs a custom application, Sub-Zero UI, written in Java. The application prompts for a QR code to be scanned. The participants are able to review the transaction being signed before they unlock the private keys. The application communicates with the HSM. The HSM runs Sub-Zero Core, a custom Bitcoin wallet implementation. The code is written in C and implements hierarchical deterministic wallets as well as SegWit. We leveraged Trezor's open source projects, such as Trezor Crypto, as much as possible. The business logic rules are enforced inside Sub-Zero Core, and the private keys are never exposed outside the HSM and Sub-Zero Core boundary. Bean Counter. Finally, we wrote a tool, Bean Counter, to audit our wallet balances. The tool is written in Go and addresses needs that aren't fulfilled by existing wallet software, such as the ability to compute the balance at any given date in the past, and the ability to handle wallets with very large numbers of transactions. Bean Counter also has some other useful features, such as mapping dates to block numbers. Our repo contains documentation, code to build our DVDs, the GUI, the wallet that runs on the HSM, and a few other utilities. Some of our code is tightly coupled to our specific hardware, but we are open to contributions enabling support for alternative vendors. We hope that by sharing our work, we can make it easier for others to fulfill their security needs, enabling even more innovation and better protection for all players in the cryptocurrency space. In the long run, since we had to solve problems that other companies may face, we are interested in standardizing some of our work. We look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions as we continue to improve Sub-Zero. The code is available on github.com/square/Sub-Zero. All right, and that was open sourcing Sub-Zero on the Square Corner blog on Medium by Alec Mangrijani. And so a couple of things that I thought were really cool about this one was a couple of the ideas implemented here. First is the fact that, and we see this again and again, and it would be terribly, terribly stupid at this point for any major company holding customer funds to not be doing this, but they have a hardware-backed solution that holds keys, and most importantly, and they're managing or making use of the multi-signature contract in Bitcoin. And the neat thing about this is because Bitcoin is programmable money, is how many different layers and what kind of security is possible with the technology is really, really powerful. For instance, with the multi-signature, and it goes to show just how important it is for anything happening on the base layer to be absolutely critically secure. Like for instance, like the parity multi-sig, like none of this cold storage. Like parity was a multi-sig contract or wallet built for Ethereum, and because of the huge attack surface and the lack of testing, or may very well just be because of the larger attack surface. Because Ethereum is trying to have their scripting language do so much or be capable of so much, whereas Bitcoin is trying to make it do only a handful of things, only like four or five things, and just do those five things as absolutely as securely and immutably as possible. None of these cold storage methods that Square is talking about with Bitcoin would have done anything to prevent the parity bug. So if multi-signature is not secure on the base layer, none of these measures make any difference whatsoever, because the ownership of the funds is still a public ledger and people can still execute. It is only because the keys are private and because the contract is sound that there is actually any security there. So it's interesting to think that, you know, in the context between doing this with Ethereum or Bitcoin, is there are two very deeply different levels of security, because I think even with Bitcoin, we see the possibility of bugs, and pretty serious validation bugs, regardless of, you know, how minor the skip in validation was with the CVE bug. It just demonstrates the need for a base layer immutability, because all of these measures are only external to the network. And if there's any problem on the network side or on the underlying scripting side, then none of these measures mean anything. But another really cool thing that they did with their customizing their HSM and their the Bitcoin script, how they store their Bitcoin, is that they made it so that the Bitcoin in cold storage is only spendable to a Square hot wallet, which is another fascinating measure that is so powerful about programmable money, is that you can build into these contracts that they can only be sent in a certain direction or it to a certain address or location. You can have the destination already pre-programmed, and the level of customizability, when these things get made into simple tools and they do get standardized, as Square is saying they want to do, they want to help facilitate the standardization of these technologies and security measures. As these things get simplified and the products and the hardware use of these tools get, I guess you could say, just robust and easy to use, they kind of get that user graphical user interface version of them. And thank you, a huge thank you to Square for open sourcing this. I mean, this is a pretty big deal, I think, particularly for a company that's trying to just prove that they have the same thought process that, okay, like, we understand that that's how this community goes, that's how security works. Like, this is cryptography. This is not businesses fighting each other. This is, we are cooperating to make this ecosystem secure and safe for the customers and the users. And I think that's a big deal. I think the fact that that has become such an embedded part of the cryptocurrency ecosystem and culture, that I think it's important that the businesses who come into this culture and ecosystem do adopt those best practices, that they take the standards and the behaviors and the open source mentality that we have here and try to solve their business solutions around that and by joining that culture. And I think it shows the power of the culture that they felt the need to do that. They were like, okay, we need to open source this. I think this is important. And we need to show that we're out here for the ecosystem and the industry, not for ourselves. And that's another reason why I think it's a huge benefit. And I trust to some degree Square, particularly with a small amount of Bitcoin. And I'm very happy that they have come into the space, because I've always used their app anyway. They've been a good company so far. So I don't really have any reason to complain about them. And this was just another means to show that they are trying to accommodate the Bitcoin and crypto culture and industry, not change it. And I thought this was just a really cool move by Square. And also their system is really clever. It seems like a incredibly secure and level of security as far as, I mean, it's practically the Liquid sidechain, for Christ's sakes. I mean, the Liquid is built with a subset of functionaries with just a M of N multi-signature contract. And that's what they have here. And it's managed with hardware wallets. Or HSM, so hardware security modules, but, you know, same difference really. And I just think this was a really cool thing to hit, particularly on a Monday, just to go through and talk about their security systems and measures that they're building into their cold wallet storage and for them to basically make a show that we're reaching out to the community and we want to adopt your best practices and we want to help to develop standards and make the entire industry more robust and prove to the customers and the users that they're not here to quote unquote fix the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency industry. They're here to participate. I guess that'll do it. Don't forget to follow the Square blog and their Twitter account. If you have not, they're undoubtedly going to have a lot of announcements coming out with Bitcoin in the future. Back in, was it during the peak of last year? It might have been early in the year. They announced that they've been working with Lightning Labs, so there may very well be announcements or developments coming with Square Cash App and integration with Lightning. I have no idea, really, but you know, they've been working with Lightning Labs for at least, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, I think, now, or at least since that announcement came out. So I think we can expect to hear Square say something about Lightning in the future. So that'll be a huge, huge thing, and you don't want to miss out. So follow them on Twitter. Stay in touch or stay in tune with what they are building and developing, and follow them on the medium.com blog, that's Square Corner blog, and check out Alec Mangrijani. And I will see if I can, I'll make sure I find his Twitter account. If he is on Twitter, I'm pretty sure he is. Oh yeah, there it is right there. Twitter.com/Alec Mangrijani. So I will add the link to that and tag him in the post. So that you can all follow him and check out the other work that he's doing as a security engineer, now working with Bitcoin and hardware wallets and all the cool stuff in the open source community. So with that, we will close this one here. Don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Mastodon, Twitter, and Medium. And I'm still trying to work out my Instagram situation. Apparently, to do automatic posting, you have to confirm, quote unquote, confirm your identity with your Facebook account. And I am a passionate Facebook hater. So I really don't want to do that. And that may kill Instagram for me across the board. I may just delete the entire thing. And I am going to try to make that decision soon. And we will see what happens up there. Really disappointed because I kind of wanted to get on Instagram. It seemed like there might be an opportunity for, you know, to reach out with crypto people out there. And there isn't like a huge community over there, it doesn't seem at the moment. So space for growth. But if it, I don't know, I don't like Facebook and I don't want everything in my whole internet life attached to Facebook. So it may not go there at all. But regardless, I'll keep you up to date on that. Don't forget to check out cryptoeconomy.life. I've got the links for the books. I'm getting really close to the end of The Drunkard's Walk. It's just a really good book. It gets more and more fascinating as it goes on. Some of the study of the history and like where the thoughts around probability and randomness originated. It's just a really fun book, so I definitely recommend it. I've been a little bit unhappy with the fiction books, like the fantasy books and stuff that I've picked out recently. They've been a little underwhelming, and so it's good to be really excited about a book again. And of course, it's nonfiction. I don't know if I'm just getting drier in my old age, but it's mostly the nonfiction these days that really excite me, which sucks because I love great fantasy books. But anyway, I will let you know how that comes out, and I'll post a review or something about it when I finish The Drunkard's Walk. And of course, you can always get the I've got my Mastering Bitcoin Amazon affiliate link as well. So both of those books that I'm reading right now, you can get through the website at cryptoeconomy.life. And of course, you can check out the huge, huge collection of stuff now that I have read and discussed and interviews that we have done on the show all over there at cryptoeconomy.life. Also, if you want to support the show, Bitcoin donation address, obviously. Always appreciated to anybody who can donate to the show to help keep this thing running. It's a huge, huge thank you. I actually had somebody donate over the weekend, I believe. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. It was a pretty, pretty chunky donation. It was like 20 or 30 bucks, I think, too. So thank you very much to that user. I hope you guys keep listening. Don't forget to subscribe, share, retweet, do all that good stuff. And I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.